Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me today to Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. We've started this series about a month ago called Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. And if there's one thing we know about mirrors, we know this. We know you may look in a mirror and hope to see something there. You may look in a mirror and hope to not see something there. You may look in the mirror and be afraid that you're going to see something there. But the one thing about mirrors is they always show what's there. You can't Photoshop it. You can't deny it. It's going to show what's there. So for the past month, we've been looking at and talking about looking in the mirror. And not physically looking in the mirror, but looking in the mirror at our hearts, looking in the mirror at our character. Are we people that are reflecting Jesus Christ? And we've seen characteristics, really, that these are a reflection of Jesus Christ. With the first week we were together, we said it's integrity. We talked about integrity. And then when we were together, we talked about honesty. And then last week, we looked at humility and talked about humility as a characteristic that shows if we're reflecting Christ or not. And that brings us to today. And today's characteristic that I want us to look at was loyalty. Loyalty. And to find out about loyalty, we need to look in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, because it's a great book on loyalty. I want to tell you something interesting about the book of Ruth. Benjamin Franklin, we all know, Benjamin Franklin, one of the fathers of the country, and that Benjamin Franklin, at one time he was appointed to be U.S. ambassador to France. And so while he was in Paris, he would go to this club from time to time, and the club was called the Infidels Club. Now, the purpose of the Infidels Club was actually twofold. Number one, they were there to meet to trash the Bible, to talk about how the Bible is not written very well, how it's not put together very well, it's not true, and to talk bad about the Bible. So that was their first goal. The second goal was to talk about all the literary masterpieces of the day that people had written. So it's kind of like a reading book club, you know. I mean, they would get together and discuss all these literary masterpieces. So Ben Franklin decided he was going to play a trick on this group one day. So he said, I've got something I want to read to you all, a story, it's not very long, and he changed the names of this story so that they would not recognize that it was from the Bible, but he read to them the story of Ruth, and if you've ever read it, it is a beautiful, wonderful story. And so after he finished the book of Ruth, he looked around to see what everybody thought, and they thought it was just a tremendous piece of literature. They said it was marvelous, and they demanded, can you tell us what this is called? What is the title of this book? And he shared with them, what's the book of Ruth from the Bible? And they were just all like, oh man, you know, we've trashed it all this time, you know. And it was just a great story, because in the book we see the story of loyalty. Now, I want to give you some background in case you don't know the book very well. The background of the story is it opens up, the book of Ruth opens up with a severe famine. There's a family in Israel, their names are Elimelech and Naomi. They're a family and they are starving in Bethlehem. There's no food in Bethlehem, but they hear in a land called Moab that people are thriving. There's food there, there's jobs there. They decide, you know what, we're going to move to Moab. And while they're living in Moab, they are very successful. They do thrive. Everything goes well. They have two sons, and their sons grow up here in Moab. And when these sons get old enough, they meet two ladies, Moabite women, by the name of Orpah, not Oprah, but Orpah and Ruth. And they fall in love with them, and they get married, and so they're married now. But then tragedy hits. Elimelech, the husband, passes away. His two sons pass away. And now all that's left are these three ladies, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. And so Naomi goes to them. She says, you know, I'm not even from here. I don't really, you know, after living here all this time, it's not my home. I'm going back home to my home. I'm going back home to Bethlehem. But I'm releasing you guys. Y'all don't have to go with me. You stay here. You're from here. You just stay with your families. And so Orpah decides to do that. She's going to go back to her family and be with her family. But Ruth has a different story. And I want us to read what Ruth says, beginning in verse 16. It says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God.'" Verse 17 says, "Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. I want to show you some pictures of some companies. Actually, we'll do the first three and see if you can guess them. I'm guessing that you'll be able to guess them. You know which one this is. Of course, this is Apple. Apple is, and all these companies that I'm listing here today are leaders in a certain area that I want to get into in a moment. So Apple is a leader in certainly software technology and communications with iPhone and everything like that. So Apple in that industry is a leader. This one, you know, is Google. Any search engine that, you know, all the search engines out there, Google certainly leads in this category. Another one is Facebook, social media. So Facebook leads in the category of all social media in this particular area. And then the rest, the other ones I'm going to show you, the logo has part of the name in it, so we can't really guess this one. But here's one, in airline travel, Delta is the leader in this area. That, again, all these companies are leaders in this one particular area. And then here's another one, Amazon, in online shopping, Amazon is the leader in this industry. And I think there's one more. In the fast food industry, Chick-fil-A is the leader in this particular. And all these, what they have in common is they lead in something known as the brand keys customer loyalty. All last year, these companies led in their industry in customer loyalty. Their customers find these companies to be that they're most loyal to them, they're most dedicated to them. They're committed to them. The Brand Keys Customer Loyalty Index does this. It recognizes the brands that receive the highest loyalty and engagement assessments and surpass competitors for delighting customers. I think you know that I am a coffee drinker. I love coffee. So as I was reading this, as I knew about the Brand Keys Customer Loyalty Index, it just came to me, I wonder who leads the industry in coffee and who's the best, who has the most customer loyalty in coffee, in coffee out there. And I would have thought, actually my first thought was probably your first thought, Starbucks. It's not even close. Actually, for the past 11 years, this company has led in customer loyalty and satisfaction for coffee. Dunkin' Donuts. Never would have thought that, would you have? but why is this so important? This is so important because executives and companies look at customer loyalty. Because if you want to maintain your business, if you want to grow your business, the foundation of it has to be customer loyalty. And the interesting thing about loyalty is this. Loyalty, I've come to see, and certainly we see it with all these companies that we just talked about, it is a lifestyle. It's not something they're just pledged to. It is incorporated into their companies. It is a lifestyle. If we go back in history and we look at Alexander the Great, Alexander the Great was a great leader. I did some study on him this past week, and here's a couple of interesting things I found about Alexander the Great. He never lost. He conquered everything that was known to be conquered at the time that he lived. As a matter of fact, when he had conquered the last land that he knew of that was out there, it said that Alexander the Great cried in his tent because there were no more lands, no more armies to conquer. He had just gone the gamut of conquering. But the interesting thing about Alexander the Great is what made his armies great, number one, he kept them very small, relatively speaking, 40,000. He never let his army grow past 40,000. All the places that he conquered, people would want to come and join his army. He kept it at 40,000 people. He kept it small. The pay wasn't that great, but he always paid promptly. And he always provided food, a lot of food. People loved the food, so they loved serving in his army because of that reason. Another thing that Alexander the Great did was he always built relationships. So when at night, when they were all around the campfire and they had different campfires set up around the tents, he would walk up and down talking to the men, talking to the soldiers, establishing a relationship with them. And they came to love him. He came to love them. He was very strict. If somebody got out of line, I mean, his punishment often was very severe, but his soldiers loved him so much so they started doing something. This is really where I was in the Air Force, and when I was in the military, probably you were too. I mean, people just loved to get tattoos. You know, they just flocked to those places, especially in the Philippines or Okinawa or Japan, where I was. People just loved to get those tattoos, and this started with Alexander the Great. Because his entire army got a brand, got a mark on their hand, and it was the Greek letter Alpha, A. That's the lowercase a in the Greek alphabet. And they would tattoo that on their hand so that everybody would know that they were loyal to Alexander the Great, that they were committed to Alexander the Great. Because, again, it wasn't a pledge of allegiance. It was a lifestyle. I thought about that this morning. I thought, you know, I looked at the flag up there, and I realized, you know, we can say Pledge of Allegiance every day to the flag, but unless it's something that is our lifestyle, unless it's something that we're committed to, it really doesn't mean very much. Loyalty is a lifestyle. So as you look at your life today, as you look in your mirror, where are you when it comes to loyalty? Is that your lifestyle, or is that just something, yeah, I say that I'm going to do, but I don't really do. Because I think we can look at Ruth and see how we can be better and more loyal. And I know I need to hurry it up here. I spent a lot of time with that one. But I just wanted to kind of lay the foundation there. The first thing that we need to do in order to have loyalty be our lifestyle is we need to be loyal to our family and friends. I want to read verse 16 in its entirety. I've got a little bit up there, but I want to read the verse again back in its entirety. And let me come back to the verse here in the Bible. Chapter 1, verse 16 says this, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't plead with me to abandon you or to return and not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God.'" You know what she's saying there? She's saying, "I may not be related to you by blood. We may not have anything in common, but I am going to be loyal to you." As I look at Panther Creek today, I realize that I'm closer to most of you in this room than I'm people that I'm related to, cousins or uncles or anything else. You are my family. And if there's one thing we need, certainly in our culture today, we need families being loyal to each other. We need families standing by each other. They say that family is still the fabric and foundation of any culture, past, present, or future. If that is so, it is all the more important today that families stick together, that we are loyal to our families. Not only do we need to be loyal to our families, we need to be loyal to our friends. I like this verse. This verse is from Proverbs 25:19. It says, "Trusting an unreliable person in a difficult time is like a rotten tooth or a faltering foot." If you've ever had a toothache or if you've ever had problems, Frank, with your feet and had problems with walking, tell him later, Betsy. If you've ever had problems walking or problems with your feet, you understand what I'm talking about. You know, when you have problems with a tooth or a foot, you know about it. You do. You know about it. You know, and it just bothers you and sticks with you. And when there is a person that's unfaithful in your life, when there is a person that's not loyal in your life, boy, it just nags at you. It nags at the family. We need to be faithful. I did some checking. Speaking of Facebook, did you know Facebook will not allow more than 5,000 friends for any one person? Did you know that? You cannot have more than 5,000 friends on Facebook. If you try to friend somebody with more than 5,000 friends, here's the message that you'll get back. I've got 5,000 friends, so this is what I don't. But this is the message that you'll get back that Facebook has put together. This person has reached the friend request limit, but you are now following them. You can't be friends with them, but you can follow them because they have reached the friend request limit. I hate to break it to Facebook, but no person has 5,000 friends. No person has 1,000 friends. I'm not sure we have 500 friends or 100 friends. A better friend or better message that Facebook could put out is this. You have fewer friends than you think you do. You have fewer friends than you think you do. Why is that? Because it takes loyalty in order to be a friend. It takes being loyal in order to be a friend. Several years ago, a famous magazine did a contest where they asked people to define what a friend is or what is a friend to you, and they had several people get a lot of good ideas. These were some honorable mentions, and this was, this was one. A friend is someone who multiplies your joys and divides your sorrows. I like that. Here was another honorable mention. A friend is someone who understands your silence. I think that one's a good one too. But the one that won, and you're when I read this to you, you're going to say, "Oh yeah, I've heard that before." Well, the reason why we've heard that before is because it won this contest. This is the one that won. A friend is someone who walks in when all the world has walked out. That is being loyal to a friend. We need to be loyal to our friends and family. I still love the story. I still love the story. And I got to tell you guys, you know, everybody in this room practically has had the privilege of seeing two impeachment processes in our lifetime. You know, how often does that happen? And that most of us in this room have seen it now twice. And I got to tell you guys, nobody's talking about this. I'm going to people's homes, and when I walk in, everybody has it on the TV. And when I ask them, "Hey, what's going on?" I don't want to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about this, but it's going to. But if you did not know, there was another time in our history, recent, that there was an impeachment process. And several years ago, Bill Clinton, 3 months after Bill Clinton, the story about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky broke, 3 months after that, Time magazine did their 75th anniversary. They invited 1,000 people to come to this very privileged event where celebrities would come, dignitaries would come to this 75th anniversary of Time magazine. And there was a committee that was in charge of seating everybody together. President and Mrs. Clinton were to attend. When the committee got together, they looked at all the bay that was coming, and they decided to put Joe DiMaggio right by President Clinton. Now, Joe DiMaggio is the baseball great. He was much older at the time, married to Marilyn Monroe at one time in his life. So Joe DiMaggio got that word that he was going to be seated next to President Bill Clinton, and he sent back word to them, "No way. I'm not going to sit by President Bill Clinton. I don't respect the man. I don't like the man. I will not sit next to him. You put me somewhere else." Well, Billy Graham got word that this had taken place, and he contacted the committee, and he said, "If possible, I would love the privilege and the honor to sit next to the President of the United States. He's a friend of mine." And that night, Billy Graham sat next to President Bill Clinton. And you look at that story, I love that story. And I love telling that story because I think about that story and I think to myself, I would love a friend like that. You know what the Bible says? That if we want a friend like that, we need to be a friend like that. To be loyal to our family and friends. Not only do we need to be loyal to our family and friends, we need to be loyal to our faithfulness. We need to be loyal to our faithfulness. Now, what in the world do I mean by this? Well, let's look at verse 17, and I want to read it again more than just what I have up there on the screen. Be loyal to your faithfulness. Verse 17 says, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me and do so severely if anything but death separates you and me." You know what Ruth was saying? Ruth was saying, "I don't want anything to ever separate us. I will be loyal to you. If I'm the only one that is left standing by you, then I will be that one standing by you. But I am not going to be disloyal to you in any way. She was saying that she was going to be faithful to, or be loyal to her faithfulness. Now, what does that mean? You know, in World War II, before World War II broke out, there were two men, true story, Jim and Philip, two men that were buddies from kindergarten. They grew up, went through elementary school together, they went to middle school, they went to high school together, and they made a commitment when they graduated high school, we will always watch out for each other. We will always be best friends. We will always be best buds. Well, sure enough, they enrolled at college. They were going to go to the same college together, and both of them got drafted. So they made arrangements for both of them to be in the same unit together to go serve in Germany. And sure enough, they went through basic training together. They were shipped out together to Germany. In Germany, they were put in a fierce battle with a fierce firefight. And during that time, Jim lost track of Philip. And the captain, looking at all the losses that they were experiencing, ordered everybody to fall back and retreat. Jim went up to his captain. He said, "Sir, I can't see Philip anywhere." He said, "I have permission to go and search for Philip and bring him back." And the captain said, "Absolutely not. Nobody ahead of us is alive. You cannot go search for your friend." But Jim did something. He turned his back on his captain, and he ran into the front lines anyway and looked for his friend. He looked and looked for his friend. He finally found his friend. The next thing the captain saw was Jim carrying the lifeless body of Philip back to behind the lines where they could be safe. His captain went up to him. He said, I told you not to go. It was a complete waste of time. What good did you do in going and finding the dead body of your friend?" And Jim said, When I reached him, he was alive. And the last thing he said to me was this: "I knew you would come. I knew you would come." You know, we talk in church sometimes about come to Jesus moments. I want to tell you about a come to Jesus moment I had. And I think I've shared this with some people before. It's never been on the podcast. So today we're getting officially in the record, Doug. But I've shared this before, but I know there's probably the majority in this room that I haven't shared this with before. But I want to tell you about a come to Jesus moment that I had. Years ago, when I first became a pastor, I served at a church that I just completely adored. I loved this church. I loved the people there. The people loved our family. We were committed to this church. I tell people that every week we went to somebody's house. Every week, I'm not asking you to invite me to your house. I'm just saying every week it was some kind of fellowship. It was something going on. Every time we just had such a great time. Every Sunday night there was a standing order. Every Sunday night there was a standing order that we would go to Cracker Barrel. Whoever came to Sunday, and sometimes people can make it, sometimes they couldn't, but every Sunday night, everybody knew that after church, Eddie, keep it short, because we're going to Cracker Barrel right after church. And we went to Cracker Barrel and had such a good time. I loved the church family there. I never will forget when God called us away from First Baptist North Canton. He called us to a little place, First Baptist Pickerington. And from the moment I arrived in Pickerington, it was bad. It was nothing like where we had been at. Completely different than anything we'd experienced before. As a matter of fact, prior to my arriving there, on the business meeting that they called me as their pastor, I found this out later, the business meeting that when they called me as their pastor, a fight broke out and the police had to be called to break up the... I see, they didn't want me. That didn't happen here at Panther Creek, I'm thankful. But that's what happened right before I arrived, and it didn't get any better. It was bad. 6 months after I arrived, I never will forget sitting in my office thinking to myself, "What have I done? Man, I messed up." You know, just crying. I opened the Bible to Job 13:15. This is why I tell you this. Job 13:15. If you don't know it, this is what Job 13:15 says. It says, "Even if he kills me, I will trust him." That doesn't mean God's going to kill us. It just means that you know how you have those times in your life where you can at least see the light at the end of the tunnel. Things may be bad right now, but man, I see good days coming. It wasn't like that there. It wasn't like that there. "Even if he kills me, I will trust him. And what Job was saying was, even if I die and things never turn around, things stay bad for me the rest of my life, I'm not going to give up. I will be loyal to my faithfulness. That is a come to Jesus moment. Because it was like God was saying to me at that moment, at that time, Eddie, it's real easy to follow me. It's real easy to be loyal to me when it's Cracker Barrel every Sunday night. But can you be loyal to me when things are completely turned upside down and there's so much turmoil in your life and you don't know where to turn? Can you still trust me? We need to be loyal to our faithfulness. We need to be the people that if I'm going to say something, I'm going to do it. We need to be the people that will stand up for what is right. We need to be the people that will stand true to our convictions. We need to be people that will be loyal to our faithfulness. Finally, here today, we need to be people that will be loyal to our God. She says here, your God will be my God. I think this is so interesting. I mean, here was a lady who had no ties to Israel whatsoever. She had no ties, zero ties to Naomi other than being her mother-in-law. Nothing. As a matter of fact, you know, the Moabites were hated among the people of Israel. I mean, not just hated, they were really despised. As a matter of fact, you could leave Egypt and go to Israel and be an Israelite. You could leave Edom and be an Edomite and go to Israel and be an Israelite. You could do that, but you couldn't be a Moabite and go to Israel and be an Israelite. You couldn't be an Ammonite and go to Israel and be an Israelite. And I tell you why I know that, because in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3, it says, no Ammonite or Moabite may enter the Lord's assembly. None of their descendants, even to the 10th generation, may ever enter the Lord's assembly. Verse 6 says, never pursue their welfare or prosperity as long as you shall live. And there's a reason for that. The Moabite people, they began an incestuous relationship. You remember Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Well, he had relations with his daughter, and that's how the Moabite people began. And they worshipped idols, and they were pagan people, never loved God, never cared anything about God. So that these people, there was a reason why they were separate, to be separate from the people of Israel. But that's another story. And yet here is a lady who is a Moabite, and because she's been with Naomi for so long, she's seen the one true God. And she says, no matter what else, I'm going to be loyal to God. I'm going to be loyal to God. I want to show you one final picture, and then we'll call it a day. This is Paul Santa Maria. Several years ago, very tragic story in Walt Disney World. As a young boy, 2 years old, out with his family, he was walking along the edge of the lake. You remember this? Alligator came up out of the lake, took him back down the lake. He drowned. Died, and just very tragic story. At the time, people said that this has never happened before, but that wasn't the case. As a matter of fact, 30 years ago, 8-year-old Paul Santa Maria was with his family at Walt Disney World. Sure enough, they were walking there. They'd been playing tetherball, and after the finished playing, he had walked over, got too close to the lake. Sure enough, an alligator grabbed him by both legs and pulled him into the water. His mom and his sister and his brother ran to his assistance. His sister grabbed him underneath the arms. His mom grabbed him on both arms. And they are playing tug-of-war with Paul, trying to get him away from the alligator. It was only when his brother came over with a big stick, started pounding on the alligator's head, that the alligator finally let go and went back into the water, and Paul Santa Maria's life was saved. He went to the hospital. This actually is him looking up. I didn't blow it up, but it's Mickey Mouse, and I think Snow White's there, and he's looking at them, and there's a newspaper reporter there, and the newspaper reporter comes in because he had had all these bites on his legs and all these scars on his legs. As a matter of fact, it was reported that he had an alligator tooth in his thigh that they had to get taken out, and the newspaper reporter came up to him, and he said, boy, can you tell me the story? And so as best Paul could remember, he told the story of what happened to him as he was by that lake. And the newspaper reporter said, would I be able to see the scratches and the cuts and where that alligator bit you? Or could I see the scars? And without thinking anything else about it, the young man put his arms over the covers in the bed and he said, here, this is where they are. And the newspaper reporter said, well, did it get your arms too? I thought it was just your legs. He said, no. These are the scratches from my mom, hanging on and not letting go. The one thing he remembered about that incident was that his mom held on and did not let go. And that's loyalty. That is when we commit that we will hang on and not let go. We need to be loyal to our family and friends. We need to be loyal to our faithfulness. But most importantly, we need to be loyal to God. Hang on and never let go.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.